translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The topmost devotee of the Lord will have expanded intelligence and expanded influence and will be the greatest of the great souls. Due to mature devotional service, he will certainly be situated in the transcendental ecstasy and will enter the spiritual sky after quitting this material world. Purport. There are three stages of transcendental development in devotional service, which are technically called Stayabhav, Anubhav, and Mahabhav. Continual, perfect love of Godhead is called Stayabhav, and when it is performed in a particular type of transcendental relationship, it is called Anubhav. But the stage of Mahabhav is visible amongst the personal pleasure potential energies of the Lord. It is understood that the grandson of Diti, namely Prahlad Maharaj, would constantly meditate on the Lord and reiterate his activities because he would constantly remain in meditation. He would easily transfer himself to the spiritual world after quitting his material body. Such meditation is still more conveniently performed by chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord. This is especially recommended in this age of Kali. Omagyan Timadandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhadantikam Vancha Kalpata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhubyevacha Petitanam Avanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Diti, she has had two children. The two children are called Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. They are to come very soon. So every woman, most women, they are very happy when they have children. For a woman, that is like the goal of life, to have a child. That is a very powerful desire within the female psyche. So they want to have children. But it has been predicted, you will have children, but your children will be demons, and not only will they be demons, they will terrorize the entire universe. So we see many examples of this in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Canto 3. We hear about these demons' pastimes in Canto 7. And also in there is the pastime where Chitraketu Maharaj wants a son. What pastime, what canto is that?
Sixth
canto. So we hear that Chitraketu wanted a son. So the son came. So people, they want to have children. In the material world, people want to have children. That's natural. But the child was called Harshashoka. What does that mean?
Happiness and distress.
Harsh means? Happy. Sometimes you call the kid harsh. You say harsha. Harsha means happy. Gives happiness to everyone. And then you might call shoka. Shoka means? Going to cause problems. So we should be realistic about this material world. Prabhupada said devotees should have a healthy pessimism about the material world. We should not be pessimistic, but we should have healthy pessimism. Means that we understand the material world for what it is, which means it will give you happiness, but it will also give you distress. That is the nature. So she got the children. The children are going to come. Okay, you're going to have kids. That's what you wanted. But now they're going to be demons. But that's not what you wanted. So basically, that's the material world. And that's why Krishna says in the very beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, what's the first thing Krishna says? That's the second thing he said. Or what's the first thing he says?
You're talking like learning.
Asochanam Vasochastvam. He says there is a difference between matter and spirit. Right? And the second thing he says is that you must tolerate in this material world. You must tolerate. Why must you tolerate in the material world? Because the material world is full of duality. It will change every half an hour. Just like you're with your kids and you think, oh, they're so cute and they give me so much pleasure and happiness. And half an hour later you think, why do I even have kids? Just like sometimes you go to the supermarket and you see the kid laying in the aisle of the supermarket throwing a tantrum because he can't have something. Right? I've seen kids completely lose it. Completely. Like just right there and you're like, just like completely lose it. Why? Because they couldn't have a lollipop or something like that. So the parent at that point in time was thinking, why didn't I practice celibacy? The parent is thinking, why didn't I stay brahmachari? No, that's what the parent, because that is the nature of the material world. You'll get happiness, but then later on, you're from the same point or from the same place, you'll get the same amount of unhappiness. So that is the reality of the material world. So reality of the material world, Krishna says, don't become bewildered. Don't become illusioned. Don't think you can enjoy here permanently. Because all the happiness you will get an equal and opposite amount of suffering automatically. So here, she is getting children, so she's happy. But simultaneously, they're demons, and they're going to harass the universe. Yeah, imagine if you found out your kids were going to harass the universe. Or you find out your kids do something wrong. You know, sometimes you find out, your kids are, like my uncles. Sometimes the police would bring them home. they didn't do really bad things, but, get drunk or something and cause problems. And the police would capture them and bring them back to my grandfather. And the police car would come in the driveway at 2 o'clock in the morning, and said, "This is your kid?" yeah, that's my kid. Okay, out. Why are you, and then, bring their kid in the next day when they wake up. Why are you doing like this? You bring disrepute to the family. So that is the nature of the material world. They will give you pleasure, but they will also give you suffering. Krishna explains the material world. Do not become attached to the material world. Because material means we want a particular model. People want to be happy all the time, but it's not possible. Like Krishna clearly says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Ashwatthama, Dukalayam. He says that it is temporary, it is miserable. So Krishna says all these things. So why does he say these things? Because he's trying to make us understand this is the nature of what we've gotten ourselves into. So don't try to have a permanent situation here of happiness. You can't enjoy here permanently. Srila Prabhupada, he installed Radha, I think it was Parashishwara. And then you see, if you watch the footage, Prabhupada installs the Didi. And just like here in the temple room, Prabhupada's sitting opposite the Didi. So then Prabhupada installed there, and then he walked across the temple room, sat on the Vyasasan, and then the devotees were all waiting what Prabhupada said. The first thing Prabhupada says, he said, there is another world. He said, it is the spiritual world. So he says, there is another place. This place has certification for certain traits. Krishna says, he says, it is temporary and it will give you misery. So that is the nature of it. And what is our foolishness? The conditioned soul is called pramatta. Just like if you go to Sydney, everyone's heard the pastime, right? There's a suburb up there called Parramatta. So Prabhupada was driving down the road and he said, what is that? Saw the sign. Parramatta. Right, it's a very high-class suburb in Sydney. Yeah. It's not high-class, it's very... a lot of problems there. So Prabhupada said, and then he looked up, he said, pramatta. Pramatta means madness. So everyone here is mad. Why? Because we think we can get happiness where there is not happiness. And that is the definition of maya. What does maya mean? Illusion means that which is not. So you think you can get happiness where there is not happiness. That is maya. That's the definition. You think you can get permanence where there is impermanence. That is illusion. That's the definition. So everyone in this material world is in illusion. So she has kids, Diti, and she thinks, wonderful, and now they're just going to cause everyone problem. And that's what happens. Sometimes we have kids, but they disappoint us. We find, oh, you were doing that, or you did that, or you did that. That's the nature of the material world. So then, Kashyapa says, because she's very upset. It's an interesting pastime, because this pastime is classic Bhagavad Gita. Because what is the Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is 700 verses spoken in sutra form. Right? It's very short philosophical work in one sense. Only 700 verses, very small book. So Krishna, he elaborates that within the Srimad Bhagavatam. Where does the Bhagavad Gita finish? Abandon everything and surrender to me. Sava daman. Parijaja. Mamekam sharanam braja. So Krishna finishes Bhagavad Gita. He says, reject materialistic religion. And then how does the Bhagavatam start? Bhagavatam says, reject Kaitava Dharma. Opening verses. Right? So where the Bhagavad Gita finishes, Bhagavatam begins. Okay. So everything Krishna has said philosophically in the Gita will be expanded upon in the Bhagavatam. So this pastime is like Bhagavad Gita in pastime form. What did Diti do? What did she do wrong? She was captured by public enemy number one. Prabhupada says. Public enemy number one, Mr. Lust. Prabhupada says. Right? Biggest problem in this world is lust. And where is lust? In your consciousness. Just like one time I was in Vrindavan and I was with one Prabhupada disciple and he said, you know, what are you doing in the West? And I said, I'm preaching and like that. And I said, we were talking and then I said, Maya is everywhere in the West. He said, no, Maya is in. You don't worry about what's outside. I mean, you do worry about what's outside. I mean, Maya is everywhere. It's already bombarding us. But the main problem is what's going on inside the consciousness. That's where she is situated. So this is Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, the whole end of the third chapter, when Arjuna says, why do I act sometimes against my will? Even though I know I should not do something, but still I go and do it. Does anyone have that problem? Sometimes you know you should not do something, but you go and do it anyway. What is that called? Arjuna says to Krishna, what is that? Arjuna says, Krishna says, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguna Samudbhava. It is that desire to enjoy separate from God. That is called lust. Atma Indriya, Priti, means that when I want to enjoy my senses separate from God's senses, that is called lust. So that is our problem in this world. So what happened to Diti? She became lusty. So she goes to Kashyapa. I want to have a child now. He said, no problem, just wait. We'll have a kid. We'll have a kid, no problem. No, now. Does your wife ever do that to you? Has anyone ever done that to you? Now. Sometimes the husband does it. Now. And the kids do it all the time. No, now. I want it now. Like that. But that's lust. That's Prabhupada said, if you say, I want, that is sense gratification. That is sense gratification. I want. Has to be now for me. My guru said to me one time, he says, who cares what you want? I always remember that. I was up there. He said, why do you want this? And I said, it was something spiritual, actually. It was, you know, it wasn't something material. It was spiritual. But he said, why do you want this? And I said, gave a couple of reasons. And he interrupted me. He says, who cares what you want? And then I thought, yeah, I thought that's true. Who cares what I want? Because that's sense gratification. When I say, I want, that's for me. What does Guru want? What does Krishna want? What do the Vaishnavas want? That's more important. So for the devotee, he's concerned with what the devotees want. Are the devotees happy with me? Is Guru happy with me? Is Krishna happy? How do you know if Krishna is happy? If the devotees are happy, and if Guru is happy, but Prabhupada also says, when you see the deities, if the deities are smiling at you, that means they're happy with you. Prabhupada said that is the barometer of bhakti. That's how you know. Right? Like you know what is the temperature. The barometer measures the temperature, right? Goes up and down, right? So how do you know? The deities are smiling. Right? We have 7 main deities on our altar. There are many deities, but 7 main deities on our altar. Right? And I've been serving these deities for quite a few years. And the person on the far, far, far left, he tends to give me a hard time. His name is Prabhu Nityananda. And it's interesting because he is the most merciful out of everyone. But he gives me the hardest time. Sometimes I come in, offer obeisances, everyone's smiling at me. Right? And then Nityananda Prabhu is just looking at me. What are you doing here, you nonsense? You wait all the time. He's constantly. Doesn't give me much leeway. So this is how we understand. This is how we should act. Is Krishna happy? Is the Guru happy? Is Vaishnava happy? So Kashyapa is a Vaishnava. So he says to Diti, just wait. What's the problem? Right? I'll satisfy your desire. I'll give you children. That's not a big deal. But she says, no, now. Okay. So this is Bhagavad Gita. This is the philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita in motion. Controlled by a desire, which is even against it. So then, okay, he succumbs. Because right? she's beautiful. Right? She is attached to him. So he succumbs and satisfies her desire. But then, he says, and then she said, okay, what is the result? Because she knows she's done the wrong thing. She knows it's inauspicious. That's why when you have kids, when you get married, when you take initiation, everything has to be auspicious, as much as possible. Right? It says in Hari Bhakti Vilas, you should only get initiated on very auspicious days, like Gaura Purnima and Baladev Purnima. And Jama. You see, often the gurus will initiate on those days. Right? And it says in Hari Bhakti Vilas, you should get initiated in a holy place. Like Vrindavan or Mayapur, like that. So commonly, very common that on the Gopanim day in Mayapur, many devotees, I have big yagyas, hundreds of devotees will get initiated at one time. And, right. But it says in Hari Bhakti Vilas, if the guru is a Maha Bhagavat, he can initiate you anytime, anywhere. Because Prabhupada is Maha Bhagavat, he initiated. Most of the time, when did Prabhupada initiate devotees? Yeah, that's the place in the West, but which time? Interesting. You look when Prabhupada would initiate devotees. Right? On the Sunday feast. That's when he did it. Because he did it as a preaching program. Now, people would come, so he would initiate to encourage others to also go towards initiation. So Prabhupada can do anything he wants. Because he is Maha Bhagavat. Means someone on that level, they can initiate you any place, any time. It is completely auspicious. But for those who are less advanced, then they have to follow some rules and regulations, make everything auspicious. So when you conceive a child, things have to be auspicious. When you take initiation, it has to be auspicious. When you get married, it has to be auspicious. You don't just do any time. So we see that Diti, it was inauspicious. So she said, okay, we just conceived, now I'm pregnant. What will be the result? So then Kashyapa says, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. You don't understand what's inside your womb. You don't understand who's in there. You have the two biggest demons in history, right? They're there together. When they come out, the whole universe will have problems. So now she's upset. Right? I did the wrong thing, right? And now I'm upset. Because she didn't listen to her husband in the first place. Didn't listen to her guru in the first place. So then, he wants to encourage her. He says, but it's okay because your grandchild will be the greatest devotee in the universe. And his name is?
Prahlad
Maharaj. So now we're hearing about Sri Prahlad. Right, so these verses are giving the qualities of Prahlad. So this verse says, the topmost devotee of the Lord will have expanded intelligence and expanded influence and will be the greatest of the great souls. Due to mature devotional service, he will certainly be situated in the transcendental ecstasy and will enter the spiritual sky after quitting this material world. So that is our goal. Our goal is to enter the spiritual sky. And it says he will easily enter the spiritual sky. Who wants to easily enter the spiritual sky? Who wants to go there with difficulty? It's up to you. It can be easy or it can be hard. It is simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated, Prabhupada said. Sometimes we think, why is it so complicated, devotional service? What is the answer? Hare Baba. What is the... It's us. Right? The process is simple. Krishna is simple. Krishna is not a complicated person. Right? He's very simple. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, you just love me. You just serve me. You come back to me. End of story. Is that complicated? And that's not complicated, is it? What does he say in the ninth chapter? He says, Susukam. This is joyfully performed. This whole process, like, yeah, it's happy. You can be happy the whole time. Sometimes you walk around devotees, you know, the face is the index of the mind. Sometimes you look at devotees' faces and you say, uh-oh. You know, I come out of the forest once a week. I live there in the forest. Away from the material energy. I don't even know what goes on outside the forest a lot of the time. I have no idea. The whole world could be exploding and blowing up. I don't even know. I'm just in there. And then I come out, and sometimes I walk into the temple, and I see all the faces of the devotees. And I say, uh-oh. You know, the face is the index of the mind. Sometimes devotees are like... You know, you feel like you just walked into a cemetery or something. So it is like that sometimes. So why is that? It should not be like that. Prabhupada said, bright-faced devotees. His devotees should be bright-faced. Why? Because they're happy. Because the soul is awake. When the soul is in contact with Krishna, a devotee feels blissful and he will look happy. And if it doesn't look happy, that means there's something wrong. So then, if the devotee is not happy, what is wrong? Does it mean there's something wrong with Krishna? There's nothing wrong with Krishna. Is something wrong with the guru? Possibly, but generally not. Generally not. The guru is fixed in devotional service. That's why he's guru. Occasionally gurus have problems, but generally it is not that. Is there a problem with the process? Is there something wrong with the holy name this morning? The holy name lost all of its potency overnight. You get up in the morning, Hare Krishna. Oh, there's no taste here. The holy name, no, that is Nama Chintamani, Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Rasa Vigraha. What does that mean? Vigraha means the form, Rasa. No, it is like, you know, the holy name is like a rascal. What's it like when you wake up in the morning, there's a big rascaler in front of you? You get out of bed, you take bath, you come in, a big rascaler. And what happens to your face? Just devour it, right? So the holy name should be like that. But sometimes when we chant, we feel like we're drinking
poison.
Yeah, poison or
bitter melon.
Or something. Yeah, and actually, Rupa Goswami says that in the Upadeshamrita. He says that in the beginning, it will taste like bitter, like poison. You're chanting Maha Mantra, and then sometimes you're sitting there during japa, and you're thinking, what is this torture? What was this movement I joined? It's like the movement of, you know, self-punishment. I can't wait to finish this round. That means we have no taste. So the problem is us. The problem is not the process. Prabhupada said, what is the symptom of one who has a taste for chanting? Prabhupada said, when he chants his rounds, he doesn't want to chant 16 rounds. He feels like, why can't I chant 16,000 rounds? That means you have taste. You're chanting, but you think, and Rupa Goswami says, one tongue is not enough and two ears are not enough. When I chant, I need millions of tongues and millions of ears. And even that is not sufficient to taste all of the nectar within the holy name. So when we have taste for chanting, we just want to chant on and on and on. Kirtaniya ha sada hari. So what is the problem? The problem is us. We don't have taste. So going back to Godhead is not difficult. Going back to Godhead is easy. But you have to surrender to Krishna. But if you don't surrender, and if you don't give your heart fully to Krishna, it becomes very complicated. It is said here that Prahlad Maharaj will easily go back to Godhead because he is liberated. He's fully absorbed in devotional service. So what is being taught here? The Bhagavatam is teaching the dichotomy of spiritual life. What we should not be like. We should not be like Diti. We should not be like Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Although, in the seventh canto, Hiranyakashipu gives some very elevated instructions. He actually says some very wise things. If you study some of his words and the like that. Because he knows. He's not acting on it, that's the point. And then in his next, who did he appear as next? After Hiranyakashipu, he became? Ravana. Ravana was the same. 10 heads. And you read in the Ramayana, 9 of the heads were arguing with 1 head. You know, 9 heads said the night before Ravana was killed, the 9 heads said, just give Sita back. Because Ram smashed him on the battlefield. Ravana finally came out after days and days and days. He sent everyone out and everyone kept getting killed. So he said, go and wake up Kumbhakarna, his brother. I woke up Kumbhakarna, he went out, he was dead. Indrajit was dead, his son was dead, everyone was dead. So he thought, okay, now I'll go. So he goes out, Ram defeats him. And Ram says, listen, you dog. Right? You just give Sita back now, and then I spare your life. Right? We shake hands and it's all finished. No problem. You did something stupid. Right? You took my wife. But if you give her back now, I'll forgive you and I'll spare your life. Go back into your palace. Think about it. You come back tomorrow, you live. Right? You come back tomorrow without her, you die. Simple. Right? So they go in that night and 9 heads said, give her back. Right? All night there was a debate. Right? And the 1 head said, no, the lusty head, the main head, said, no, I will defy Ram, I will defeat him tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Right? So he went out and then he was killed. So the choice is ours. We can make spiritual life very simple, or we can make spiritual life very complicated. Hands up if you want to make it simple. Then why do you make it complicated? You say you want to make it simple, but we make it complicated. I know myself. Right? I complicate it all the time. All the time. It could be as simple as anything, but no, it has to be complicated. Like that. So, we have to learn. So, Prahlad Maharaj, he can easily go back to Godhead. Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, such meditation is still more conveniently performed by chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord. This is especially recommended in Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is the best age. It's the easiest age to go back to Godhead in. If you follow this process strictly, you will transcend by the mercy of Gaur Nitai. This is the easiest age. There's more mercy in this age than any other age. How do you attract the mercy of Gaur Nitai in the age of Kali? Sankirtan Jagya, yeah. But especially, how do you attract the mercy of Gaur Nitai in the age of Kali? Worship his devotee. Serve the devotee. And what is the best way to serve the devotee? Preaching, yeah. Spreading the word. Prabhupada, one time, one devotee asked Prabhupada, said, Prabhupada, how do we repay our debt to you? And Prabhupada said, actually, it is impossible. How do we pay back Prabhupada? It said, but we can't. There's nothing we can do which will repay. But Prabhupada said, if you want to try, then preach vigorously like me. Prabhupada said that. He said, if you want to try to pay me back, then preach vigorously like me. So we have to do what Prabhupada did. And then, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said to Prabhupada, he said, it's so difficult. Every day, I go into the lawyer's office in Mumbai, because they're fighting for this land in Juhu. So every day he was going into the office, 9 in the morning, even earlier, till 5 at night, and then coming out. And he was complaining to Prabhupada on the balcony in Juru. I was sitting there, Prabhupada and Tamogrishma. He was saying, it's so difficult. He said, I'm a sannyasi. He said, I know all the bylaws of the municipality of Mumbai, but I don't even know the Bhagavad Gita shlokas. He said, I'm just doing this, I'm doing that. It's so difficult. I'm doing so much austerity. And Prabhupada just cut him. And Prabhupada said, for so many lifetimes, you have served so many masters. For this one lifetime, you just serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And whatever you are lacking at the time of death, Lord Chaitanya will cover and he'll take you back to Godhead. And I've listened to thousands of hours of Tamal Krishnamurti giving lectures. And he tells that pastime more than any other pastime. Prabhupada said, if you just give one life, Lord Chaitanya will take whatever you're lacking, because there's a good chance there'll be something lacking. At the end, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I'm just going to be laying there. Now, I hope a few of you are there chanting. I was going to lay there, I'm just going to be thinking, you know, I'm really sorry. You know, I tried my best, but I'm nowhere near where I'm supposed to be. And maybe Lord Chaitanya will say, anyway, come on. Whatever you're lacking, he will cover that, he'll take you back to God. So that is the way to attract the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So therefore, Kali Yuga is the best age, because you get the most mercy, because Lord Chaitanya is the most merciful incarnation. So you have to spread this movement. Lord Chaitanya says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that I am a gardener and I have fruits, but I cannot distribute them all myself. I need some assistance to spread the fruits of love of Godhead. So if we help Lord Chaitanya and Prabhupada, our guru, spread the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then we will get unlimited mercy. And you actually see the devotees who preach the most, they advance the most rapidly. And when I joined the ashram, I moved in, and the devotees said to me, they said, if you really want to advance, if you want to get on the rocket ship, then do Sankirtan. Right? I didn't even know what Sankirtan was. I just moved into the temple. I had no idea what they were saying. I said, yeah, what is Sankirtan? I'll do it. And I said, what is it? I'll do it. And I said, you go and distribute Prabhupada's books. And I said, yeah, give me the books. Right? So I got the books, and for 7 years I distributed Prabhupada's books. That was my main service. Just distributing books. Right? Because I was told that if I do that, that would be the most, it's like getting on a rocket ship and going back to Krishna. And practically I experienced that. That advancement in Krishna consciousness comes when you preach, when you give Krishna to someone else. Don't worry about giving it to yourself all the time. You'll get Krishna anyway, that's no problem. You know, we do our sadhana, we just did, you know, 4:30 this morning, say, you know, we just did 4 hours of, we just looked after ourselves for 4 hours. Now we go and give it to someone else. Krishna, give it to someone else. That is our mission. Prabhupada said, one time there was an ant on Prabhupada's desk, and one devotee was there. Prabhupada said, do you see that ant? And devotee came and he couldn't see an ant. So we're not even sure if there was an ant there or not. But Prabhupada was making a point. He said, do you see that ant? And devotee looked at Prabhupada and he said, you know? Because he wasn't sure, like it was Prabhupada, was there an ant? Was it a spiritual ant or was it... He wasn't sure what problem. He didn't want to say no because Prabhupada said there's an ant there, and then he didn't want to say yes because he couldn't see it, so he didn't know what to say. So anyway, then Prabhupada said, our only business is to save that ant. Prabhupada said, our only concern is to save that ant, to take that ant back to Godhead. That's what Prabhupada was teaching us. Our concern should be how to help the conditioned souls go back to Krishna. And if you do that, you will attract Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And you'll attract his attention. And if you get his attention, then everything will be taken care of. So that is our mission. We make ourselves Krishna conscious, just so we can help others become Krishna conscious. And the more you do that, the more you become, the more Prabhupada sees you, the more Lord Chaitanya sees you, and then you'll transcend. Easily you'll go back to Godhead. Otherwise, on your own efforts, it'll be very difficult. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there's any questions or comments what we discussed. Yeah.
Tell us something about this Kartik month. Why it's so positive?
Why is Kartik so auspicious? Because Kartik is the presiding deity of Kartik is Srimati Radharani. She is known as Kartika Devi. She's the daughter of Kirtidhar. So because she is the most merciful person, then it says that any service you do in the Kartik mass, you get thousands of times more benefit from doing the seva. So Giriraj Maharaj, he was giving a lecture years ago, and he said that just like Myers, or any big shopping center, like Myers, the department store, so they have Boxing Day sale. So if you go in on Boxing Day, everything you got on 2 days before, it's half price, or even less. They have big sales, and everything's cheap. So all the less intelligent people, they buy all the Christmas presents before Christmas, because that's when they put the price up. Then 2 days later, you get all the same stuff for nothing. Right? So when Kartik comes, all the devotional service you do, you get, it's like having a sale. Krishna is saying, take mercy, because Radharani is controlling everything. So in Kartik, whatever service you do, you'll get hundreds and thousands of times more benefit. So we should chant more, we should read more, we should preach more, we should, you know. I remember a few years ago, devotees take different vrats. I remember one devotee took a vrat, every day he would do Harinam Sankirtan. Was that Harinam Ananda did that? Or was that you? Did you do that? It was Harinam Ananda. Yeah, he took that vow. Every day. For 1 month you'll do Harinam every day. So some days he'd go down with only one other devotee, two of them. They go down to St Kilda's, get on the tram, 10 minutes down, get off, do Harinam for half an hour, come back, and go like that. So you take vrats. Huh? Some devotees, they take a vrat, they would do Dhammadaya Ashtaka every night in a different person's house in the western suburbs, Ajay Deshmukh Prabhu. He does that vrat. So every night he will do Dhammadaya Ashtaka in someone's house. So he looks up, books up a whole month, of how he goes out and preaches and does Dhammadaya Ashtaka in their house, and, you know, and then preaches to them. And so you take your vrats like that. So whatever your vows are for yourself, I will chant extra rounds. I will go to Mangalati every day. I will do many things. Chant different ashtikas. I will read the whole Bhagavatam in 1 month. So whatever your vows are, you will get much more benefit. Because it is under the auspices of Srimati Radharani. TK. Okay. Any other question? No, it's the best age. It's the best age. Because the process is Nam Sankirtan. But the incarnation in this age is the Swayam Bhagavan. He's the original form from Goloka Vrindavan. In the other 999 Kali Yugas, the incarnation in Kali Yuga is a Vaikuntha avatar. And the other 999 Dwapara Yugas, the incarnation is a Vaikuntha avatar. But this particular one is from Goloka. So if you want, you can go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Hands up if you'd like to go to Goloka Vrindavan. Good. And stay awake in class. And chant your rounds attentively. I was there devotees this morning chanting their rounds. You know, that is not going to get you back to Goloka Vrindavan. It won't. So you have to, if you want to get to Goloka, you can, but you have to follow the process strictly. Any other question or comment? How do you train it to be simple? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, austerity of the mind is simplicity. So you just have to practice it. You know, maybe don't have so many saris. Yeah. Or maybe shave your hair. Or maybe only wear white. So white, you see, because sometimes you'll see devotees will do that. You'll see, like, if you go to Vrindavan, and you'll see the older Matajis, right? They shave their hair, they only wear white, they probably have one or two or three saris like that. So why do they do that? Because they're voluntarily practicing some tapasya. so they can simplify their life. And then when your life is more simple, you can more easily approach Krishna. So then you just have to work out yourself how to simplify it. But just simplify it, make it more simple. Don't over-accumulate. Some people, they over-accumulate. Going to their house, it's like going into something very cluttered. So that's not simplicity. Simplicity means we should minimize our material attachments, not increase our material attachments. That's the point. So everyone has to do it to a different level and in a different way, but you just do it however. Be practicing. So Krishna says in Gita, practice simplicity of the mind, simplicity of the body, simplicity of speech. That's a good Kartik rut. In Kartik, take a vow, you will not criticize any devotee. Things like this. I only speak good things about other people and other devotees. There's ways of purifying the consciousness. So there's different things you can do. So many things you can do. Is that okay? The point is we should be simplifying our life, not making it more complicated. How you do it, that's your personal choice. Yeah, be simple. That's the point. Devotees are simple. It's actually one of the qualities of a devotee to be simple. So we should do. Prabhupada was very simple. So, any other points? How do we preach? Yeah, well, we distribute prasadam, we distribute books, and we distribute the holy name. That's always going to be the same. How we package it may be different, that's all. So like His Holiness Devan Rita Swami is very expert at packaging it in a way that people will be attracted to it. So then we just have to think of new ways. Prabhupada said, rack your brains to think of new ways to attract people to Krishna consciousness. It's the same thing. We preach in the same way, but we package it differently as time, place, and circumstance evolves. So if people are not attracted, then change the external mold. Internally, everything's the same. Still the same books, same holy name, the same prasadam. But just do it, package it in a way that they'll be attracted to it. So just see what's going on and just do what they're doing. It's okay? Any other question? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Sigma model.